God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. While Isaiah tells us how that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew then records the angel's words to Joseph, telling him that his wife shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. After that, it was Mary's cousin Elizabeth who was first to call Jesus Lord before he was even born, when the angels, the heavenly angels, ascribed to him the title of Christ when speaking to the shepherd. Many names for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there was one other name given to him long before his birth, which is so special, which no other human could ever adopt. And it's the name that Jamie read out to us from Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It only appears 3 times in the entire Bible, but what a name it is, for it simply means God with us. And contained within that one name is all the truth of what Christmas is really all about. I'm going to leave 3 very simple things with you about this name in the time that remains, and I promise to be short this evening. Number one, the name Emmanuel is a significant name. It's a significant name. At the beginning of our meeting, one of our young men read to us Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, where we're introduced to the fact that Jesus would be called Emmanuel. Now, the amusing thing about Isaiah's prophecy is that it was written some 700 years before Christ was born. For the next 700 years from that chapter, that name Emmanuel lay silent in the pages of Scripture. The significance remained unforeseen. But in that one name, God revealed that to the world that a day would come when he would dwell upon the earth and live amongst men. By doubt, many have marveled and perhaps tried to have envisaged what Emmanuel would mean in a practical sense for all of those hundreds of years. But what a momentous occasion it must have been when Joseph was visited by that angel and told that the name of Messiah would be Emmanuel. The mystery of prophecy would be manifest practically, that God would bring his word to life and that word would live amongst men. One of the Lord's disciples, John, he defined Emmanuel as being the word which was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In previous ages, he spoke to the world through the prophets which foretold the day when deity would step into humanity. And over 2,000 years ago, those prophecies came true when God spoke unto us by his Son. Mystery gave way to the Messiah, Emmanuel, which is God with us. But you know, what's significant about this name is that many people in Jesus' day would have known the prophet Isaiah. Many would have read and known very well Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Everybody, I'm sure, would have been familiar in that culture with that text. The Jewish priests and religious leaders would have revered and respected such a book. It was the book of Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in confusion in his chariot. However, by and large, the majority, like that eunuch, missed the significance of the Savior and the name Emmanuel. They missed that the babe in Bethlehem was in fact God with them. They missed the fact that the babe in Bethlehem was in fact the Messiah. The Savior of the world was among them, and his salvation was available to them. And yet they missed it. How sad in Bethlehem that first Christmas time, alongside the much activity, there was much apathy. They had no room for Jesus. And even though God was among them and had made himself available to them, the Savior was simply insignificant. I wonder tonight, Does the name Emmanuel mean anything to you? Ask yourself the question tonight, does the name Emmanuel mean anything to you? I wonder, does it have any bearing or significance in your life that God came to earth? That God, and I want you to understand this, dear friend, tonight, I want you to understand that God desires to have a relationship with you, whether you're a little child sitting on the front row, or an older adult sitting further back in the congregation, whoever you are, whatever your background, God desires to have a relationship with you, and Jesus Christ was born to die for your sins, and He lives to be your Savior. And I wonder tonight, is that any significance to you? Does that name mean anything? Or I wonder, are there simply more significant and more important things to think about this Christmas time other than Emmanuel? I wonder this Christmas time, have you anything greater to think about other than the crib and the cross? My, we see that Emmanuel is a significant name. But not only is it a significant name, but Emmanuel is a sacred name. You see, it says here, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, Emmanuel was a sacred name. Oh yes, it was very significant because it had been prophesied some 700 years previously, but what was greater than its significance was the fact that it was sacred. What an unimaginable thought that the great God of eternity became flesh. I want us all just for a moment, and I know it's getting late and I know it's hot in here and I know your imaginations may be already stretched, but I ask you just for a moment to go with me to Bethlehem, go back 2,000 odd years ago and stand in that stable. I wonder, are you there yet? Are you standing in the stable tonight? And what I want you to do is I want you to walk over and among the hay, I want you to gaze into the manger. You're gazing into the manger, just simply a cattle feeding trough. And as you stand in that stable among the cold and you stand and gaze into that manger, I want you just for a moment to behold the baby. Do you see it? Just a newborn baby. And I want you to look at that baby and conjure the image in your mind and then consider the fact that among the hay is God with us. What a thought. As you behold that baby, you're beholding the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're beholding the one who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is the wonder of Emmanuel, that the eternal Son of the eternal God, the one who was in the beginning with God, the one by whom all things were made, the one without Him was not anything made that was made. This is the one, regardless of what scientists or anybody else say, this is the one who set the sun ablaze, who set the moon alight, who set the stars in their place, who set the earth in its orbit, and yet here He is now lying amongst men as a baby. That which no man could ever conceive allowed Himself to be conceived of the Spirit, allowed Himself to experience a natural birth to permit mankind to behold His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, what a tremendous thought that the transcendent Holy God, He's confined Himself to a virgin's womb. He constrained Himself to live under His own law, and He's cast Himself dependently upon a sinful and servant girl, Mary. My, the angel described this baby to Mary in terms which could be used of no other child. It was described, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And as you behold that baby, you're beholding the only one that has ever lived in this earth, that is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. As Emmanuel, He's fully God, yet fully man. What a wonder that the Son of God became the son of a woman to make the sons of men the sons of God. The problem is tonight, to many, Jesus is just a figure of history. Jesus is just a good man who lived amongst men, his divinity denied, his deity debated. Men have always doubted and tried to get to God through other ways. There's many tonight and they say, I don't need Jesus. I've got my church and I've got membership and I've got baptism and I've got all of these things. And many miss Jesus. But dear friend, tonight Christmas is all about Christ. Regardless of our opinion, God's word clearly says that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And dear friend, tonight, he's the one who, the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross, confessed to be truly, this was the Son of God. And dear friend, can I lovingly say to you tonight, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to go to God, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know what that verse tells me? That tells me tonight that we don't need any other man, minister, or mediator. We don't need any other priest, prophet, or pastor. Rather, the Bible says we need Jesus Christ alone, Emmanuel, both for faith and forgiveness. Why? Because his name is sacred. He's Emmanuel. His name is significant. His name is sacred. But finally, let me bring our time to a close by saying that his name is sympathetic. You see, his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God, there's its sacred. With us, it's sympathetic. You see, the name Emmanuel emphasizes the nearness of God. All of the men that have come up and read for us tonight have taken us to different portions of Scripture where God longs to be with his people. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brought the infinite, holy God of heaven within reach of finite, sinful man. The invisible became incarnate. The immortal became mortal. The unapproachable became approachable. And because, and I want everybody to understand this tonight, and this is God's word, not my words. God's word says, because we cannot become like God, God became like us. The Bible says that he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And that doesn't mean that he was sinful, rather it means that he became a man just like us, with thoughts and feelings, emotions and reactions. Jesus being named Emmanuel tells us that he's been here, he's lived in this world, and he's seen it all. That's why it says of him that he's not someone who cannot be touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without Christ, yet without sin. Dear friend, tonight I don't know what state your life's in tonight. I don't know what burdens you're carrying in here tonight. Maybe your life is broken. Maybe your life's a mess. Well, I want to point you to Emmanuel tonight. You see, while Jesus Christ cannot identify with our sin, he can identify with our suffering. And he can identify with our struggles. And he can identify with our sorrows. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ wants to strengthen and sustain you through life. But the problem is, he can't help you. And he won't hear you until you call out to him and ask for all the forgiveness of your sins. You see, there's many tonight and they say their prayers. There's many tonight and they read their Bible and they trust that that gets them closer to God. Dear friend, tonight, can I remind you that the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that tells us tonight that man and God are separated because of sin. That's a statement which includes everybody and excludes nobody, whether we're Protestant or Catholic, religious or irreligious, good living or a rebel. We've all got sin and we're all separated from God. And I want to assure you tonight, dear friend, as one of the little children read from Ephesians chapter 2, no amount of good works, No amount of clean living, no amount of church going or charitable donation can earn us favour with God. Oh yes, it may earn us favour in society, but it cannot earn us favour with God. This is a holy, just, righteous God that cannot bear to look upon sin. And there's nothing we can do to close the gap or repair the relationship. We are born helpless and hopeless. And so the sole purpose of that first Christmas was to bring the Saviour to man. To bring Christ to the cross. To bring payment for our penalty. Really, the crib was the gateway to the cross. The Bible clearly tells us in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God and a lost eternity. Dear friend, this may be hard to hear. But if we die the way we're born, we'll never be in God's heaven. If we die the way we're born and there's never been a moment in our life where we've accepted Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, then we'll never be in heaven. Dear friend, there'll be nobody in heaven tonight that's not saved. But I want to tell you tonight, the joy of the Christmas story is Jesus Christ was born in a crib. And he grew up amongst men and he went to the cross as the only Savior of sinners and on behalf of all sinners. And he laid down his life and shed his blood as a payment for our sins. He took the pain and he bore the punishment. He became our sin substitute and God punished him instead of us. Dear friend, can I say to you tonight, God loves you. I don't care who you are, what you've done, God loves you. And I know that because he sent his son to Calvary's cross. And Jesus Christ has died for you tonight. That's how I know he loves you. And God punished him instead of us. And salvation has come, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But like any other gift, we must accept it. Dear friend, tonight, this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Have you ever accepted Christ? You see, we must accept before him that we're a sinner. We must accept that without him we're lost. And we must accept from him his gift of eternal life by faith. Oh, when you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only is Emmanuel God with you, but he becomes God within you. You see, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Dear friend, tonight you can have a new start with Christ this Christmas. The life of a Christian, I want to put a disclaimer out there, the life of a Christian isn't always bypath meadows and sunshine, neither is any Christian perfect. We all make mistakes. There's still suffering and sorrows and struggles. But what a difference it makes to face life with the author of it, with Emmanuel. Do you know something about Jesus Christ? He's the one that knows more about your life than even you do. And you see the situation you're in at the minute, and when darkness looks like it's closing in all around you, he's the one that knows the best way to solve that situation. But better than that, he is the only one and the only way to sort your sin. And I want to assure you on the authority of God's word that when you take Christ as your Savior, he promises never to leave you nor forsake you. He promises even in life's darkest hours to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Dear friend, he wants to transform your life. I wonder, will you let him? I wonder tonight, will you take God's greatest gift, Emmanuel, which is God with us? Is God speaking to you tonight? You've maybe come to see your grandson or granddaughter. You've maybe just come to fill an annual yearly visit. And yet you've come in and you feel, you know what, God's speaking to me. Well, dear friend, open your heart and let him in. Accept Christ tonight. Just bow your head in simple faith and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I give you my life. I thank you for the cross. And I pray that tonight you'll save me. Because, dear friend, tonight might be your last opportunity. None of us know what a day may bring forth. I would hate anybody to leave this meeting, go out into a lost eternity without Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless you tonight for Emmanuel, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left the splendors of heaven and came to be God with us. And Father, we believe that your voice has been speaking tonight. We know that you're standing at many hearts' door knocking. And I pray that you'll give much grace tonight and you will convict on and bring people to the greatest point of decision where they will trust the Savior. Oh, Father, we thank you that not only are you God with us, but when we get saved, you're God within us. Never leave us nor forsake us. Help us through dark times in life. And Father, we pray for any wandering such a path tonight that even they would turn to the light of the world and be gloriously and wondrously saved this evening. Father, speak on in Jesus' name. Amen.